Well, hello there, my favorite poppers. Brian here, tackling the intro for you all. Now, before we get into the recap of the last episode of AWA, this week's promo is brought to us by Of Mice and Men and Monsters. Now, let's take a listen to that promo now.
Friends, half-orcs, countrymen, lend me your pointy ears! Of Mice and Men and Monsters is a podcast which combines the art and beauty of classic literature with the fun of Dungeons & Dragons roleplay. These episodes are led by me, Kate, your master teacher, which is Dungeon Master meets High School English teacher. We take on quests in these fascinating worlds, meeting and adventuring with the greatest literary characters of all time, solving puzzles set up by the dubious Dr. Frankenstein.
One eye is over there, and the other eye is rolled over there.
Exactly right.
Hunting Moby Dick alongside Captain Ahab.
I've rolled a one.
Oh, you rolled a one!
Of Mice and Men and Monsters is a faithful yet irreverent way to interact with the stories which have influenced us for centuries. Plus, it's a much more exciting way to experience literature than writing an essay. Essays don't have swords which burst into flame, or poop monsters hiding in toilets.
Anybody got some poop for me?
A new episode of Mice and Men and Monsters is released every other Wednesday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
In our last exciting episode of Adventurers with Attitude, we finished the side arc with our favorite tentacle koala, and we even got to bear witness to a fantasy reenactment to Cool Runnings as they made their exciting escape from the castle. But it looks like it's time to rejoin the main party, so let's join the show.
Greeting, listeners, and welcome to our new campaign after... No.
Ooh.
That's right, no one died last session.
It was close, but, you know...
Not for lack of trying.
This is the aftermath of what we are calling the Turtle Among Us arc, as our henchmen tried to stop the machinations of Augustus, the turtle advisor to the city of Nidoko, after he tricked them into leading him to a secret laboratory where he turned himself into a dragon turtle.
Yep, and we failed miserably.
Oh, we got our asses kicked, but we died like heroes. Spiritually died. We're still alive.
I don't know, it was pretty damn close for Marcus.
Yeah,
you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Might just put you in a pile of rubble.
Oh, boy.
Or cobalt energy out for one.
And as a party retreated to safety, they watched helplessly as Augustus walked over to the mansion that had been the home of the Duchesses Ryoko and Belladonna and sat on it, making a new throne before asking everyone to bow before him.
I questioned the asking part, but okay.
He asked aggressively, but he commanded them to bow.
Yeah,
that is some you know, dictator PR spin. I asked aggressively. I'm like, no, you commanded it, jackass.
We start the session in a familiar bakery to at least one member of your party. As you ran off with Marcus's dying body, you headed off to the medical district for Nidoko, Char Village, a unique section of town. The char part is actually quite literal, as somehow a pyromancer came into town and managed to burn the surface of every stone building.
Huh.
As it stands, the stones are still black, but it has become an easy way to identify where you are, and no one really wants to change it.
I mean, fair.
I guess that makes sense.
And I think the camera zooms into Nidoko, and its focus is into Char Village, to a lovely bakery known as Baker's Dozen, owned by the barbarian turned baker drow baker, Baker Dozen.
So here's a question. How many times can you say baker in a sentence? Or how many more times, I should say?
Oh, okay. Well, there's really plenty more times. I mean, you guys, we'll go for the record.
I'm sorry. I am sorry, folks. I am not used to being up this early.
Nor I.
The sad part is that it's 11 in the morning, so it's technically not early. Hey, anyway.
This is my first time waking up with Taco Bell breakfast still available in a while.
And I think right now the scene is set with Obsidian and Yuzi in the front of the store having breakfast, because I think as you guys have gotten back, in part because Sid wasn't able to make this session, we're just going to say that Tabesti took Marcus to the back and has been taking care of him aggressively.
That sounds
bad. Any attempts to get in the room have resulted in a growl and a pew-pew.
Oh, sorry, just the idea of taking care of him aggressively.
That sounds like, bad.
It's like aggressive CPR, like, get better! Get better! Cool!
Easy there, Nurse Ratched.
Well, Sid said in the last session, Marcus is her only friend.
This is true.
Well, other than Gabby. Even though Gabby... Well, Gabby is like her adopted... Well,
Gabby is everyone's little sister. It's there's no other way to put it.
Yeah. So I think we're just kind of focusing in. And the guards have been coming in and out of the store as I think it's been maybe a few hours since he got there. And let me roll something quickly.
Here we go, folks. First roll of the session. How doomed are we?
Oh, God, we have boys and bagels. The bakery's going to try to kill us now.
Why would she try to kill us? She's a nice lady.
Yeah. I don't see that happening either.
Oh, you're going to be glad about this, Eric.
Am I?
Okay, so you guys see a guard walk in, and Eric,
you.
How about you describe your temporary character until Marcus gets better? He gets better.
If he gets better. Yeah. All right, the character in question is... say about, you know, 6'4" tall, but he kind of stoops a little bit, so he doesn't look that tall. He's red skinned. He has one horn off of his left eye, kind of a thick, bony brow. Hair is a short mess. Not exactly, I wouldn't say dreadlocks, but kind of thickish, matted, wavy hair. He has a short, schwumpy tail, and he looks like he needs about a gallon of coffee before he can get going, and God, isn't that a mood.
Ooh, yeah.
He is a town guard. Ah, my apologies. He's not only red-skinned like the tiefling he is, he has some human-toned skin as well. I just received a GM designer note.
My bad. I forgot because it's been a while since I showed you the original image, because the original version of this character was actually female until I realized I needed to have more male characters.
Fair enough. So, yeah, my temporary character, city guard that he is, makes his way into a baker's dozen. He does not look happy, but considering that he just had a giant construct fight a giant dragon turtle in his city, and...
Ladder, which is now the boss of the city.
I was just about to say, who usurped a rule from his employers.
Yeah.
One can be expected that he isn't exactly in a cheerful mood.
Understandably so.
So this will be very easy for me to roleplay because, oh boy.
And I will say, Eric, that your character actually has a device with them, too.
Oh, really?
Yes, because your new boss had a message to pass on to the henchmen.
Oh, good. Not only am I working for the usurper and playing messenger boy. Great.
Yeah. It's a limit.
Now, here's the question. Obsidian, Yuzi, are you guys henchened? Well, actually, no, you can't be henchened yet. I forgot.
Yeah, we are out. We are drained.
Yeah, we got knocked out of our transformation. That requires a long rest before we can transform again?
Yeah.
Yeah, as part of the session, we're going to fix that. But yeah. Yuzi, I would say you would also recognize this figure as Monroe Bruttonholm, nicknamed the Hell Lad. The Devil May Care city guard member that you're surprised to see without his older and much more tired of his shit partner, Sharon Chrisium, a half-orc city guard.
Okay. Yeah, we're Riggs and Murtaugh. Guess which one's which.
All right. Well, you said Sharon?
Yeah, Sharon is the partner. Okay. The one in front of you is Monroe.
Okay. Monroe, where's Sharon?
Busy. like the rest of us after your little band of rainbow warriors decided to fuck up.
Well, I don't think we had any control of this situation. We did what we could, but...
I don't know. You had giant robots. Seemed like you had some kind of control.
But if giant robots couldn't beat it, what do you think we could do now?
Obviously, hide.
How are the people doing?
How do you think, Yuzi?
Actually, Eric, you can also roll me a perception check.
Alrighty. Let's see how badly this goes. Perception... Oh, good. Just a plus two. 11.
Oddly enough, other than the destruction from the fight, you know that whatever's going on, Augustus just seems to care about the trains going on track. At worst, he's sitting around. He seems pensive. He gave you the message that you got recorded on your Ascending Stone 10.0. Mm. You've got the latest model.
Oh.
No, you got that upgrade.
Oh, yeah. The iStone 10X Plus.
It's stone.
It's about EYE, of course.
Yeah, but you know, that may be, but Monroe still isn't happy. Giant robot buildings being crushed, etc., etc.
Monroe, the Royals, are they okay?
If you mean they're dead, as far as we know, no, they're not dead.
All of them? Are their bodies recovered?
They're still breathing, so I would assume yes.
Okay. Oh, they are alive.
Actually, roll me a history check for that.
God damn it. Tell me these things before I roleplay them out.
No. Yeah. I'm.
Oh, wow. That was an 18 on the die. History is plus 3, so that's actually 21.
I think you've heard through the grapevine that a weird koala boy man thing showed up. There was someone who needed to speak to duchesses before this whole thing happened. And last they were seen snowboarding out of the castle with the duchesses Belladonna and Little Misky in tow. But as far as you know, they're still in hiding too. Mm. Ryoko tried to confront the dragon turtle.
Of course she did.
Mm. She's still alive, but last time she was seen, she was flying across the city.
Gotcha. All right. So
I will stop you backhand.
Flying across the city, as in she has controlled the flight, or a dragon turtle threw her across the city?
As in, like, a dragon turtle punted her.
Yeah.
It's the Duchess Ryoko. She has a temper. What do you think?
I just had to clarify. Okay. So she might be dead.
No. She is too fucking angry to die. You know that.
She's got a Vegeta complex.
That woman runs on spite and coffee, and sometimes she's not a coffee.
She gives him the impression of she likes her coffee, like, extra black, so she could taste the bitterness and only the bitterness.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Speaking of... And he's going to walk past the two and go towards the counter to get some coffee. Because there's not enough coffee and alcohol in all of Gestelheim to deal with this shit.
Oh, and there's one other thing, but I'll leave it up to you whether you want to tell them. Part of the reason why Sharon isn't with you is because the town guard was informed by the new leader to dispose of the Zords. And because the town guard knows that you guys are still alive, they have been discreetly moving them in your guys' general direction.
Gotcha. Taking the long route to the scrapyard.
Yeah.
And if they just happen to fall off the back of the supply carts, well, oops.
And in some of the town seems to be in on it. So that when the Zords were taken back, there was like tomatoes being thrown at them and basically general.
Uh-huh.
But with that high of a history check, you kind of got the impression August knows it's all for show. He actually rolled his eyes at this.
Mm-hmm.
And considering, you know, you have a message directly for these people, apparently he still has a use for them.
Right.
But yeah, Baker goes, well, howdy there, Monroe. You want the usual or do you want something a little extra spicy? And she winks at you.
I ain't got the spoons for this. Just give me a double.
Right.
Oh, and one of those maple bacon logs. Those are good.
All right, I can do that. And she starts getting again. You sure you don't want to make it a triple?
I'd like to sleep sometime this week, so no. But thank you.
All right.
I'll be over with the Rainbow Warriors there. And he goes and sits down, takes the chair, turns it back around, squats down into it.
Riker's sitting.
Mm-hmm. The Riker maneuver. Well, no, the rancor maneuver is hoisting your leg over the back of the seat and sitting normally. Anyway, he turns the chair around backwards, sits down, goes,
"Hello, fellow kids."
So, on top of everything else you've done, you forced me to play errand boy. And he takes out the eye stone and puts it in the middle of the table between the two.
Obsidian has this entire time been quietly glaring at anyone talking. Just bad mood, period.
I'm going to lean in and look at the eye stone.
There is a message.
Is it from him?
A message to you and yours from our gracious new ruler. And if you think the donuts are sweet and syrupy, the amount of sarcasm coming off of Monroe's voice drowns that shit out.
Oh, I knew he had a sweet tone.
He pokes at the stone to play the message.
You hear a very guttural version of Augustus's voice, which I will be doing because being nice to our guests, Susanna's put in so much time on this.
Our guest and our friend who is busy and gave control of Augustus back to Sean.
Yeah.
Hope you're doing well, Susanna. Life is tough. I hope you're doing okay.
His voice speaks out.
Well, Tension, you finally did the right thing and helped overthrow the might make right leaders who took over the city. But I have some issues that my current size doesn't allow me to deal with. And let's be honest, you want the Psycho Rangers out of this town as much as I do, as I have the agreements made with a certain artificer for not to be a load of shit. I need you to deal with the infection of the Meister's forces in this city, because with my current size, I did what I did to be able to rule over the city and beat the people who were mistreated and left behind when your forces helped bring the city back up. All my certain forces made an agreement. A former, well, I'm sure you're in the medical district, so you've met the family Dozuns. What you probably know is that their sister had certain thoughts that were, well, maybe some of you have been considering what you sooner you dragged off Mr. Fearless Leader. Marcus wouldn't be able to explain this to you. But a certain artificer of the Dozon family seems to think we should turn this into a war state and start taking over. My goal has always been to protect the city. Everything I have done to this point was to protect the city and keep it going. While a ludicrously angry barbarian and a sorceress who just keeps on changing themselves get all the credit. I sat in a cell in this city until the Henshin War for most of my life. I came out, I did what I could for the city, and then I sat back as everyone else got the credit. And I felt I was in a much nicer cell, but it was still a cell. If you get a cage, it's still a cage. And I will not let this artificer destroy that. This city is a home for those who are downtrodden, and I refuse to let anyone destroy that. And you might ask, why then did I transform myself into a dragon turtle? Well, consider this. This was where the stand stopped, when Bowmeister's oncoming onslaught started to falter. You are still looking for him, no? Then you are going to be late. Someone will need to be here to protect the city. As I said, I do whatever I can to protect the city. My message may be extreme, but I've tried it the normal way. I've tried it for a year, and without this transformation, my time was soon to be ended.
Alright, Yuzi's gonna be furious because Yuzi only cares about this city and he only cares about protecting the people. And this man thinks that he's protecting the city and being a better ruler by destroying it and ruining everybody's lives. So, forget Bonemeister, forget his henchmen in the city. We gotta take this guy out first.
Yeah.
He thinks he's justice and he thinks that he could stomp around and tell us what to do. And now he's even trying to ask us for favors just because he beat us in a fight. We have to stop him at all costs.
Yuzi, can you roll me a history check?
I would love to roll a history check. Oh, God. 7? Oh, wait, 10.
Okay.
Forgot I have a proficiency bonus on it.
Well, okay, over 10. Well, I actually derailed everything. I derailed everything crying about speech explaining like why he did what he did, and now it's like, oh no, fuck it all. I will say with a 10, he's not lying about that he was literally chained under the city until the Henshin conflict came here, and the previous, his family members, you know, like the ones that got ran out, had been overthrown because they literally just ran out and left things behind.
Okay, so his family had been previously ruling Nidoka.
Yeah, and they basically had him locked in a cellar like the man with the iron mask.
Okay, so there's a little bit more to this than we originally knew.
Yeah, I think as you're listening to this, you're realizing that. And that's the thing, is the reason why in the Ryoko and Belladonna, where the Duchess is, were because they helped fight against the giant monster with the brother plumbers who had died protecting the city.
Okay, so in his mind, he's reclaiming his city.
Yep.
Or his throne, okay.
Well, and the thing is that Belladonna and Ryoko went on a platform of tired of this racial issues going on because his family was basically all humans. And you guys already knew that they basically cheated in the first place to get the throne. But it was almost like what he went through, what, I think with a 10, you can just surmise why, what this is going on, what he's angry about is that all the time he suffered. Because you know he's been the advisor for the Duchesses since this thing is going on. You don't know how much involved he was in things, but as he said, it was a barbarian and a sorcerer in charge of everything.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I feel like that's railroading. I just figured it was a way to show, like, this is the way for your character to realize stuff that might have...
Oh, no, it adds depth. It makes it more of a complex issue. This is good.
Yeah.
All right, so Yuzi's gonna scheme in his brain for a second, while Johnny also schemes in his brain for a second.
Monroe's gonna get his coffee and his maple log with bacon.
Baker hands it over.
I like the thought that Obsidian has just been eating like the old 2-day old stale bread this entire time. I'm quietly.
I'm gonna flag the baker over, get Obsidian some donuts.
No. The reason, like, because of how restless work, they don't eat like normal people do. Like, the food they put into their mouth turns to ash, essentially, because it just, all the energy is instantly zapped out of it.
Yeah,
that's probably why the baker was okay with him living here, because he literally was a way to get rid of the really old bread.
Ah, you're the garbage disposal.
There we go, that's the word.
Yeah, and he was completely fine with it, because he's not actually eating it, he's just turning it into energy. So why not? I mean...
That's the most efficient way to eat.
Yeah.
It also doesn't matter, he doesn't have taste buds.
Yeah.
Yeah, forget about
I'm
that.
I'm a skeleton. I'm a bony boy.
Baker? Can I get a triple?
Huh.
350 pounds, I need it.
All right, hon, I'll get right on it. She says, and she starts putting together, brewing it together, and then brings it over along with the stuff.
Look, Monroe, you don't want this guy ruling, do you?
I mean, I don't like the fact that my city got destroyed, buildings smashed, citizens hurt. As long as who's ever ruling doesn't seem to, you know, march certain people to certain areas to keep them there, that sort of thing, kind of doesn't make it matter to me. There's bigger things to worry about, like, you know, the psychopath with his army of magical transforming warriors.
Look, you might not like the Rainbow group that we are. It might be a little crazy. But
yeah, no shit.
He trusts you, right?
He trusted me to play errand boy. I'm pretty sure he trusts me about as far as he could punt me.
That's not a good comparison.
Which, considering the arc he got on Ryoko, is quite a bit.
But you didn't transform into a robot and try to fight him. I think he likes you a little bit more than us.
I'm useful. Let's not sugarcoat it.
But you're useful to him a lot more than we are to him. He wants us to fight for him.
Yeah.
So we could play his game. We could try to stop him. But we don't have a lot of options here. And right now, half our team is wiped out.
And how's that my problem?
Well, if he already is familiar with you at all, you can keep it like that. You can let us know what's going on with him. It seems like he's pretty standard with his goals. He wants to reclaim his kingdom. He wants us to do the fighting for him. I don't think he's in good shape, just like we aren't in good shape. He might be stronger than us, but he's not in top form right now.
He also just took over a kingdom. He's got a little bit of catching up to do.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. He just won a fight. He has his kingdom back. This is the best mood he's going to be in for a while. He doesn't exactly know how to get everything back into order. This is your only time to take him down. But if he's already comfortable with you, do you think you could keep it that way? Keep him in there. Stay familiar with him and let us know everything that's going on.
I think you're overreaching. He could have picked anyone from the City Watch or the Royal Guard or anyone to deliver this message to you idiots.
But he picked you, and he knows your face.
And I will say, he actually did ask for Monroe.
Okay.
You do know for a fact he did ask specifically for you.
Do I know why he asked specifically for me?
Roll me an insight.
Alrighty. Oh, that one actually really good. And of course, the die is 6 plus insight of 5 is an 11.
As you're thinking on this, you have a... Let's say you have a realization that kind of makes you a little sick to your stomach.
You sure it's not the overly bitter coffee?
Oh, no. Because as you're thinking about this, you realize there's a conversation you had with him. And Augustus asked you how you went forward with things, with how reckless you could be. What did you tell him?
How I go forward with things considering how reckless I am?
Yeah, like he's basically asking, how did you rationalize some of the collateral damage you've caused as the Briggs of the city?
Well, considering that my collateral damage is on a much smaller scale overall than the wreckage that was caused by, you know, his fight. And I seriously think that he did not mince words saying that.
Well, no, this was brought up before this all happened.
Oh, with Augustus before the fight.
Yeah, this is before, like, this is like when he was still the advisor.
Right.
You had a very relatively destructive moment. You had to blow up a ship in the port, let's say.
Oh, boy.
Well, considering that the ship was probably carrying something that needed to get off, and the people doing the carrying were probably very, very, very bad people, I saw it as long as innocents didn't get hurt, damage was okay. It was the ship out in the port, it sank more than anything, so that was fine. Sure, some cargo might have gotten lost, but whatever was on that ship that I was sent to get off the ship was safe, so...
I see that Monroe is a utilitarian.
Pragmatist, utilitarian, you know, not above being the instrument of karma for people whose asses need to be kicked.
I like Monroe.
Yeah. And I think if you're thinking about it, you realize...
God damn it, this is all my fault, isn't it?
Yeah, you realize he seemed to take that to heart. And I think if you're thinking about this, you remember seeing Augustus asking...
And there's the head onto the table with a loud thump.
Did you create a terrorist?
Because, god damn it!
Monroe the Terrorist Breeder.
Thump, thump, thump.
Can that be the name of the episode?
No, if only because of the word terrorist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Uzi and Obsidian just see him just kind of sit there glaring at Uzi. And he just kind of cocks his head as his eyes kind of glaze over in thought. And he closes his eyes, he grimaces, and he just slams his head repeatedly into the table. God damn it!
You're just gonna go ahead and grab Monroe by the shoulder and give him a look of what happened.
One day, Augustus, when he was much smaller, asked me how I justified blowing up that ship in the harbor.
I remember that.
And I told him, honestly, that ship belonged to pirates, and the pirates were carrying cargo that really shouldn't have been cargo. I got that cargo off the ship and figured, well, no one would really mind if those pirates didn't take that kind of cargo anymore. So I decided to speed up karma a little bit, hence the explosion of the ship in the harbor. Apparently, Augustus took this as a life lesson to model himself after.
Well, look, those are bad people. Augustus destroyed innocent people, killed innocent people, destroyed a town full of citizens. Pirates are not citizens.
He destroyed a town. There was battle damage, but there was about as much battle damage from him as it was from you people.
Yeah, it's also one thing I would say that Monroe would know, that when he went up, there were people injured, but there wasn't any fatalities, because when he first burst out, and then you know that everyone was...
It was at a graveyard.
It was actually out of an abandoned warehouse.
Ah, of course. There have been injuries, Yuzi. Some of them pretty bad, but there's been no fatalities.
Good.
And I guess I'm applying Incredible Hulk meme.
The thing is that...
Look, we didn't want to destroy the town, but we had to stop him too. And we're limited. We did what we could.
Did you try talking to him first, or did you go straight to punching?
Talking to a dragon?
The thing is, you guys did.
And of course, this coming from Monroe is laughable.
Yeah.
You did try talking to him. He tried to kill you.
True.
Yeah. We actually did try talking to him, and we almost died for it, but we did what we could. I'm not happy that I had to do this. I love this town. I love the people here. I don't want people hurt. I don't want my kingdom destroyed. I work here. I live here. This is my home.
Yeah, well, look around you. Kingdom got destroyed, and technically, you know, the buildings got destroyed and the kingdom got destroyed because now we have to deal with a new ruler, so...
Look, we did what we could to stop it. How are you going to reconcile the situation? Can you help us?
I don't know. Considering that, you know, he decided to take my story as a direction to go in, I figured I might shoot him, see how that turns out.
Don't do...
Gotta find me a really big gun that fires really big bullets. I think I can manage.
I need a big-ass gun.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, guys. Can I get a perception check from everyone?
Yeah.
From everyone?
Everyone.
14.
Let me check my...
No!
Modifier. Where is it? 15 total.
I rolled a 5 total. 3 plus 2.
14 plus 1.
Okay. I think as Enroll's talking and focusing on you guys, you notice a very wet and very red tiefling walk into the bakery before slamming the door shut and startling Monroe.
Did you say wet?
Wet. Very wet. A very wet tiefling in a...
Are we talking, you know, look with the cat dragged in type of wet and disheveled?
Like wet as in landed in the harbor. A red tiefling with brown hair and a black biker-like jacket wearing, I don't know what to call it, I guess it'd be short.
I would say the black biker chain belt with a large blue buckle, a knee-length loincloth that covers absolutely nothing but the important bits, and humorously a cravat around her neck.
Oh, so you mean my type of lady.
You're talking about the Duchess Rayoko.
Your old boss.
As you see the Duchess Rayoko just walk in, dripping wet, noticeably missing her hammer.
I am going to stand up out of respect for her as a palace guard, or before I was a Power Ranger.
Well, don't you look like shit. Any munches on his donut?
Monroe.
Ma'am.
Rayoko looks like it was Monroe. Yuzi.
Rayoko.
Obsidian. He nods at y'all. And then she looks at Baker and goes,
yeah.
I'll need a quintuple. She grabs a chair and moves over.
I think Monroe just kind of lifts his coffee and goes, respect.
Is this going to be the episode of wanting enough coffee doses?
It's been that kind of day.
I think we're going to have a coffee. It's probably going to turn into 2 episodes.
This is going to be like the coffee off.
Which is actually kind of good because it gives Adam more room.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I just found the titles for these episodes.
Oh.
Coffee Talk.
I like simple, that.
Simple to the point. Coffee Talk Part 1, Coffee Talk Part 2.
Coffee Talk Part 1, Coffee Talk Part 2, give me a quintuple.
Or maybe like Coffee Talk and Treason, I don't know.
I like that.
All right, I'll make a note of it. Anyway, continue.
And so she walks over to you, the guy goes, well, my day was shit. How was yours?
I'm playing errand boy for the Grand Poobah. How do you think I feel?
I don't know if my team is alive or dead.
Monroe kicks Yuzi. You feel that?
I am a 6-foot, 350-pound portal. No, I didn't feel that.
I kick him again. You feel that?
The pain in my soul is greater than my physical injuries.
Then yes, you're alive, you dumbass.
If the skeleton could roll his eyes, he would.
Look, Yuzi is defeated. His only virtue is justice, and there's no justice right now.
Well, there might be, but we may not like the flavor.
Yeah, good point.
Meanwhile, Obsidian's just like, God damn it, how am I working for the bad guy again? Every fucking time!
Again, sounds like a you problem, not Monroe's.
Yeah, but he hasn't said any of this. He's just, the most he's done is given a grunt of response to the Duchess and bow his head lightly to her when she came in. That is the most respect he has given anyone so far.
Obsidian, the man of many grunts.
Me.
I mean, you're not wrong.
He's not a very talkative person, especially in the mornings. Much like me.
So, Thunder Thighs, what's your plan?
Wow.
Ryoko just glares at Monroe.
Monroe just kind of sits there. It's like, and? You're not a duchess anymore. What are you going
to
do?
I think you meant to say, my lady, what do you think we should do?
No, I said what I said, and I meant what I said. Have you seen her? She's thicker than mints.
Oh, Lord.
Monroe, this is a lady in front of you.
Yeah, she is in the Toro.
No, this is our deposed ruler.
She is still a lady.
Who thought it was a good idea to run screaming at a, 200-foot-tall dragon turtle and got punted like a sports ball for her troubles.
Yuzi's gonna look at her like, you had it coming then.
I think Mario goes, yes, all right. I'm not the most rational of people, I will admit.
No, you aren't. And coming from me, that should be something.
So, do you want the good news, the bad news, or the what the fuck news?
There's good news?
The sorts.
Let's start with the good news.
No. You always start with the bad news.
What Monroe said.
You start with the bad news because that's the ripping off the band-aid. The good news is the candy you get for that, and I don't even know how to classify the what the fuck news, so.
I think that's the in-between, open to interpretation.
He looks at Ryoko. The table's yours, ma'am.
Ryoko goes, well, the bad news is I may have lost one of the magical items that will help you all save the world, according to a weird koala man who came to me earlier today.
Koala?
Koala man?
The fuck is a koala?
It's,
Not important.
I think Ryoko has like a 1,000-yard stare, which she's not even sure.
I want to roll nature.
I don't even know where that name came from. No. It's just it's 3 foot. There's a 3 foot thing that came and had face tentacles, and it was just. It was crawling all over my hammer.
Yeah.
It's. You'll meet him eventually.
So it stole your hammer?
No. They did not steal the hammer.
Okay.
Where is the hammer?
That. You know, you really shouldn't be having those late night snacks, because.
He just kind of glares and goes. Look, other town guards saw him, so I know I'm not crazy.
Okay.
No, but it sounds like you need to talk to your dealer and get an adjustment.
Oh, Lord.
That was a drug reference.
Yes.
Hey, Monroe, what's your AC?
She's gonna hit you. How does one calculate the AC? Because that's one of the empty spaces.
I believe.
What armor do you have? Oh, leather. It's leather, so it'll be 11 plus dex.
All right.
That's what it dex.
14.
She rolled a 15 on the dice alone. So you, as you say this, you just see the head coming as she headbutts you full force for 5 damage.
Just imagine Obsidian holding up a 10 sign in the background. Ding. Good form. Excellent form. Good headbutt.
Yeah, he's gonna hold his, like, lady, what is your problem?
I'm not a duchess anymore. I don't have to hold up things for political appearances, so you might want to remember that, Monroe. I can hit you now. There's not legal consequences.
Wow, Poppers, can you believe it? It looks like this coffee talk is really starting to steam up and get steamy. What can we expect in the second half of Coffee Talk and Treason? And you know what? If you are enjoying the show, remember to leave us a review and share us with your friends. It really helps us out. And you can always find us on Twitter at Dungeons & Pop. And if you would like to talk to the cast, you can over at Cast Junkie Server. Well, until the next episode, everyone, goodbye.